Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But we are thrilled to welcome to Philadelphia, put out the welcome mat to the new HUD Secretary, Scott Turner. Secretary, welcome to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dom. It's great to be with you. Great to be in the city of brotherly love.
Absolutely. So tell us, did they tell you you got to get a cheesesteak here? There are plenty of things other than cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. Did they have you down at Pat's or Gino's yet?
You know, they have. They have been very kind and generous and very hospitable. We ate good this morning and this afternoon, but I haven't had a Philly cheesesteak yet.
Okay. So tell us something, Secretary, your background. How did you get to HUD? What's your background? What were you doing?
Well, my background going way back, I spent 9 years playing in the National Football League for the Redskins, the Chargers, and the Broncos. I served in the House of Representatives in Texas and House District 33 okay. for two terms. And then in the first Trump administration under Dr. Ben Carson, I served as the executive director of the Opportunity Zone Council.
Right. So
I've just been in private business, you know, for the last 20 years.
So 9 years in the NFL. On your way out, feel free to spell out Eagles if you want. You can misspell it or spell it okay, as the mayor did. That's fine. What position did you play, Secretary, in the NFL?
Cornerback.
Ah, good. Now, I've asked cornerbacks before, do I sound like a guy who can throw a football 40 yards? Then after you answer that, I'll start talking about what you're doing in town today.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you probably could.
There you go. Thank you. Henry, another endorsement from a 9-year NFL player. We had, who was it? Jack, damn, what was his name? The other cornerback that said that. We'll look it up. But, Secretary, you're here talking about America First policies that work in the area of HUD, an area that we don't usually think about it. I would assume the Opportunity Zone is critical. We go way back to Jack Kemp, if you remember, with that. What is different about what you're doing with Opportunity Zones?
So as the Opportunity Zone, as you alluded to, in the first Trump administration, because of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the Opportunity Zones were created with Senator Tim Scott and some of his colleagues. And Opportunity Zones are those census tracts or neighborhoods around the country, rural, tribal, and urban, really that haven't seen any investment in decades. And so 8,764 Opportunity Zones were certified by the Department of Treasury for 10 years. And the tax incentive was a capital gain incentive that you could invest any capital gains that you receive into a qualified Opportunity Zone fund and invest in these projects to build affordable housing, create new operating businesses. And so over the last 5 years, Opportunity Zones have been very impactful and successful with over $80 billion of private investment going into these neighborhoods, creating housing, creating jobs, mm-hmm. creating new operating businesses. 1 million people, Dom, have been lifted out of poverty because of the Opportunity Zone Initiative. Home values inside of Opportunity Zones have risen without the rents going up. And so we're looking very forward to the possibility of the expansion and continuation of Opportunity Zones so that we can provide opportunities for the American families to build foundations and build a great sustainability for their families as it pertains to housing and job creation.
So along with that, when we talk about housing, Vice President Vance has talked about that recently. I think the League of Cities speech he gave, and he talked about the fact when you have people here illegally, that is interfering somewhat with the housing sector. And I saw last night that HUD announced that there's going to be a pushback on people here illegally having the assistance of HUD to get housing, to get grants.
Well, yes, sir. And to continue on, you know, as you alluded to, Vice President Vance, when you talk about illegal immigration, you know, upwards of 20 million people coming into our country illegally is a great strain on the economy of our country, on the homelessness crisis that we have in our country. It's a great attributor to that. And also from the home affordability standpoint. And so Secretary Noem and I signed a partnership, an MOU, if you will, to ensure that American taxpayer dollars, when in particular as it pertains to HUD-funded housing, goes to American citizens. The Biden administration have very harmful, if you will, policies as it pertains to border security and immigration, and they were prioritizing illegal aliens as it pertains to HUD-funded housing. And so we want to make sure and ensure that any taxpayer dollars from HUD go to American citizens in our public housing facilities, because American people are a priority and our only priority. There's been a great job done by the president and his team in securing the border, which has brought crime down. And it's also going to be a great advantage for us when it comes to keeping illegals out of public housing. There's 9 million people in our country that live in public and subsidized housing. And so this MOU that we signed a few days ago with Secretary Noem will ensure us from a data perspective, we'll understand who's living inside of public housing in our country. Because, Dom, it costs American taxpayers about $42 billion a year in welfare because 59% of illegal aliens and their families use some sort of welfare in our country, and it's very costly to the American people. And so under President Trump's leadership, you know, we're taking measures to ensure that we're serving the American people.
We're talking with HUD Secretary Scott Turner. Secretary, I'm not sure if you got over to Kensington yet. When Mexico shows PSAs saying don't do drugs, you end up like people in Kensington. That's pretty severe. It's got a national rep that's well-deserved. The mayor's making some progress. What sense do you have of HUD in any relationship to Kensington?
Well, you know, obviously the opioid epidemic in our country is crippling to our country, with also crime. And particularly, you know, here in Philadelphia, as you alluded to, there's been a big problem. And so as the measures that were taken as it pertains to border security, as it pertains to keeping illegal aliens outside of public housing, as it pertains to working, you know, with our local law enforcement, you know, we realize that the drug problem is real. But I think, you know, under President Trump's leadership and DHS and Department of Justice and others, interagency partnerships, that we're tackling this and hopefully to not only bring it under control, but set a new paradigm that, you know, we're just not going to stand for that in the United States.
Good to hear that. You mentioned the word tackling. That allows me to go back to football. I'm always loving it when I get a pro athlete on your level lasting 9 years in the NFL. Jack Brewer was the other guy who said on my show I could throw 40 yards. what era did you play in, and who was the toughest guy to guard?
So I played from 1995 to 2004. And you know what? I'll give you a name, a local guy here, actually a little north of here, but Wayne Krabet played for the Jets.
Yes.
He gave me a fit 1 year. I have a lot of respect for him, but I played against a lot of great players in the NFL, but top of mind, Wayne Corbett, boy, we had a showdown. He might have won that one, but he was a great player. So I'm a local guy.
Yeah, and that's a good one. But I mean, I've always admired defensive backs, arguably the toughest position, the most important is quarterback, but the toughest position. You're out there at a guy running what, a 4.3, 4.4, maybe 40, a guy like some of the guys the Eagles have, and sometimes you're covering them one on one. How do you deal with that when in front of 70,000 people they burn you two or three times?
Well, you know, it's your job, you know, and that's what I got paid to do. And they got paid as well, you know, so it created great competition.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Secretary, thank you. We welcome you to Philadelphia. Please come back. And a great start with what's going on at HUD right now.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.